Today we are talking about what's new in Office. So I'd like to basically start from ground zero. I'll assume that everyone already knows what Office is at the very least. The programs Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook. And there are a couple other new additions to that family as well. Depending on how long ago you've last used or purchased Office, you may be unfamiliar with Office 365, which is now the subscription model that they're working with. Microsoft's not the only company to kind of adopt this subscription model. Adobe, you may be familiar with as well. Their Creative Cloud Suite, you pay for it monthly and you get access to their programs through that way. Microsoft has kind of adopted the same, though there are ways for you to purchase the program in full. Perfect. So this kind of compares Office 365 with the traditional licenses for Office. Previously, with permanent licenses before, you would get several product keys that you could use on your devices. They've slimmed this down to one as to encourage people to switch over to their subscription model. So if you do go with these permanent licenses, this Office 2016 Home and Business, and this Office 2016 Home and Student, you will only get one license. That being said, it will get you access to those programs that you need, your Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and then Outlook should you decide to go with Office 2016 Home and Business. However, if you do want to try out Office 365, home or personal, you will find that it does come with a whole host of benefits. We have 1 terabyte of cloud storage, the cloud storage being essentially storage that you can access from anywhere as long as you're connected to the internet. It's tied to your account. Speaking of account, that is another change that is with the newest version of Office. So previously you kind of had to hang on to those product keys that were on the back of this CD case for your Office. And if you lost those product keys, you were kind of SOL. Thankfully, now once you enter that product key, it asks you to enter in an email address. And from then on, your Office installation is tied to that email address. You don't have to hang on to the product key anymore. You don't have to keep it in a drawer or tear your house apart looking for it. It's just tied to the email address. As long as you can get into that email, you have access to that Office. Office 365 Home is really interesting because it comes with up to five devices, and it's the only version of Office that allows you to do that. The cool part about Office Home 365 is that if you don't need the additional installations, you can actually give them out. So let's say I have 3 computers that I need Office on. I install it on those 3, and the remaining 2 I can give away to my mom and my father. And they themselves will have their own 1 terabyte of cloud storage. So it's potentially up to 5 terabytes of cloud storage, provided that it's all on different accounts. It does also come with all of the programs. It's not just limited to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote like Office Home and Student is. And it will get you Access and Publisher as well, which are new additions to the Office family. It'll get you 60 Skype World minutes. So when you do a Skype phone call to another Skype phone call, it's free. But if you wanted to call a landline with Skype, it does cost money. This gets you 1 hour of Skype minutes that you can use monthly as long as you are using 365. And then there are some features that are exclusive to Office 365 as well. Office 2016 will continue to get security updates, but feature updates are going to be exclusive to Office 365. So if there are any features added to the program, you will not be seeing those with Office 2016. One of the ones that I like is there's one in PowerPoint called Design Ideas. And the way that Design Ideas works is as soon as you input an image onto a slide, it actually will format the image in several ways and allow you to choose which way looks the best. So that's one of the things that I enjoy. That's the difference kind of between Office 365 and Office 2016 being the perpetual license that you pay for once and you own forever. It is a little cheaper if you pay annually than if you pay per month because there are 12 months in a year. So it's not a perfect division. You will pay a little more. Questions? It does not get any feature updates. It will continue to receive security updates. So it will continue to, if there are any kind of malicious bugs out there or viruses that could attack these programs, Microsoft will protect you against that, but it will not receive any additional feature updates. Yes. Security is fine, yes. Yeah, you'd have to buy the 2019 or the 2022 or whatever it is. Yes. I think that has been changed recently because this is kind of an older PowerPoint. Publisher and Access are, I've seen them become available on Home and Business and Home and Students. That is outdated information on this slide. Something to take note of. Which features? The features in the feature update? Like I said, design ideas is one of the ones that I enjoy. If you have Office 365, another one is Outlook integration with your OneDrive account. So with your OneDrive account, it allows you to automatically attach files that are kind of in your cloud storage to an email if you wanted to. So, for example, if you had a Word document which saved to your OneDrive, you could then attach that document onto an email and then send it off no problem rather than having to kind of look around your computer for it. Yes? With 2016, can you repeat your question? I'm sorry, I didn't get all of it. With 2016, not necessarily. You don't have to save things into the cloud with 2016. You can still save them onto your computer. And the same holds true for Office 365 as well. It's just by default, if you go to save something in your Office program, whether it be Word, PowerPoint, or Excel, it wants you to save it onto the cloud. And here's the reason why. It's in case your computer has a hard drive failure or something happens to the document, like your power goes out, it's automatically saved to the cloud, and that way you have a backup, and you're not just stuck without it. Yes? Actually, the nice part about saving to OneDrive is it automatically saves to both. So when you save it onto OneDrive, a copy is saved onto your computer and another one is uploaded to the cloud automatically. So no need to save it on both. Yes. It is saved within your OneDrive folder. So when you have OneDrive, and any Windows 10 computer will have OneDrive automatically installed on it, the way it works is OneDrive is, it's a folder on your computer. The only difference between a OneDrive folder and a regular folder is everything in that OneDrive folder is uploaded to the cloud. So you do get to choose that document name before you save it, and it'll have the same name both on your hard drive and in the cloud. Any other questions? I can't speak directly to what Microsoft would do to compensate you for something like that should something happen to it. You'd likely have to go through finances, Microsoft finances, and they'd be able to work with you on that. I wouldn't be able to make any promises. The thing about the cloud is it's actually very secure. For example, how many of you carry your paycheck on you every day? You carry your paycheck around in your shoe. All of the money. All the money that you have is in your shoe right now. Where is it? It's in a bank account. Where's that bank account? It's in the cloud. You go to an ATM, all the money you have is in that ATM. Or you go to a bank, all the money you have access to it there. It's essentially the same thing, but with your files, with the cloud. There are events that have happened with it. Thankfully, OneDrive's been pretty safe. We haven't, knock on wood, had any incidents yet. iCloud has had an incident, and so has Dropbox. But so far, we seem to be doing pretty okay. Yes? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what Microsoft will do, but they generally will take care of you. I haven't heard of anyone losing their files through OneDrive yet. Yeah. Do you mean on your computer? That's a good question. They probably are. There usually are backups for things like the cloud. The question is, are the files saved to the cloud saved in more than one location? Meaning, is it saved to just one hard drive? And usually, yes. There are server clusters where your files are stored, and then there are backups for those as well. Physical backups, but also digital backups. So there are offline copies of all of your stuff saved as well. It works exactly the same way. Another part that kind of sets OneDrive apart from the other cloud storages is, like, say you have a full feature-length movie saved on OneDrive. If you had that on Dropbox or if you had that on Google Drive, you would not be able to stream that movie on your devices. Whereas with OneDrive, with movies and with music, you can actually stream that music directly from the cloud. There's no need to download it. So, for instance, let's say I'm on the airplane, and they have Wi-Fi on the plane, and I want to watch a movie that I have saved on my OneDrive account. You're able to stream the full movie as long as it's saved on your OneDrive account on that phone. Whereas if it's saved on Dropbox, you would have to download and then watch it on the phone. This one allows you to watch it without having to download it. Any other questions before we move on? If I'm not mistaken, I believe Carbonite is an encryption software. It encrypts the hard drive. I'm not familiar with it, so I wouldn't be able to speak to it. It stores it in the cloud? I'm not familiar with Carbonite. I wouldn't be able to tell you about it. So, we'll get to the meat and potatoes of the presentation. Let's ask around the crowd, what your favorite Office application is. Why are you attending this workshop? What you want to learn, so I can kind of tailor it to everybody, you know, what they want to hear about. And then, do you use Office on a PC or a Mac? Not both. So favorite Office applications. Anyone? Word. That's a pretty popular one. Excel, also very popular. Outlook, also very popular. I would probably say those are the most popular ones. Publisher, also very good, very underrated. Cool. PowerPoint, working within PowerPoint right now. So all of these we've mentioned up here. The only one that nobody did mention is Office Mobile. So there are actually mobile app versions of Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, OneNote, all of the Office applications that you can download onto your phone. And they're free with an asterisk, of course. There is a benefit to being an Office 365 subscriber in that if you have, let's say, Word Mobile on your phone, if you are a 365 subscriber, you're allowed to edit. If you aren't, you cannot edit the documents. You can simply view them. And the same holds true for all of these, except for Outlook 2016. So if you receive a document on your phone, you can view it, but you cannot edit it unless you hold an active 365 subscription. Yes? It can. It definitely can. And that's one of the benefits that I forgot to go over as well. When you purchase Office Home and Student or Home and Business, the perpetual SKUs that you own forever, it is for a PC or it is for a Mac. It is not for both. So if you have it for PC, you need to buy it again for Mac. Whereas with Office 365, it can be installed on either computer. Cool. So let's move on. Yes, it would be treated as one of your five installations. The only time it's not treated as one of your five installations is when you put it on a phone or a tablet, which is treated independently from one of your five. A phone or a tablet. Yes. Cool. So these are kind of the big phrases for Office. This is how they advertise it. It's your modern desktop productivity. It's you do your best work anywhere, anytime, and then it's made for teamwork. The reason they say do your best work anywhere, anytime is because of that cloud integration. So using older versions of Office, they don't really have the cloud integration. That is to say, if you don't take the document that you have saved and put it on a thumb drive, you won't have it with you. It's only saved to the hard drive. In recent updates to Office, they've kind of alleviated that problem. They know that people can forget documents. I know I've done that many times. So it's kind of saved to your OneDrive account. That way you can download it in dire situations and you always have access to a backup. Made for teamwork. So there's actually collaboration now. So if you have a PowerPoint or any kind of Office document that you want to work on, you can invite other people to work on it with you. You're able to send an invitation within Office 2016 or 365, and it's sent as an email and allows other people to collaborate with you on it. You can sort edits by author, so if someone makes an edit and you want to see edits made only by them, you can filter it and you will see only the changes that they've made. And it's cool because you can also edit in real time. Google Docs also does that, but this one's got a lot more features available to it in the form of being able to filter by author. You can set permissions as well, so you can make it so that certain people are able to edit it and certain people are only able to view the document. So that's one of the cool parts of Office 365 and 2016. So here's where they talk about the co-authoring. You can see here with the little people icons that they have up on the screen, you can see in real time as they edit it. So you can see exactly where their cursor is pointed at, what they're typing, when they're typing. The math magic is actually kind of new. So a lot of computers, if you've looked at any computers recently, have become touchscreens. And I think that's only a logical step as we kind of have everyone on their cell phones. You're used to touching your screen on your cell phone. It's only logical that we'll be touching the screens on our computers as well. So a lot of these are touchscreens now. So they've added this thing called math magic, which actually allows you to write math equations within a document and convert it into text. And you can do the same thing with handwriting as well. You can handwrite words on there, and it will do its best to translate your handwritten documents into text. It can be pretty hit or miss. It really depends on the quality of your handwriting and how it's feeling at the time. So it really depends on how you're feeling as well. Simplified image insertion. So inserting images kind of in the older versions of Word was a bit of a pain because you had to deal with things like text wrapping. It's gotten a lot easier. It also has integration for you to insert images directly from online. So rather than having to open up your browser and save an image and then look for that image on your computer and put it into Word, you can actually search directly from Word, grab the image, and it'll insert it in there for you. You can do things like rotate the image as well. Yes, but vaguely. And the reason the way that works is it relies on a setting that's automatically turned on inside of Office. So it's not just learning your handwriting. It's learning everyone's handwriting. It's called telemetry. It's basically they're looking at and seeing how people are using the program. So when you're handwriting and it converts it to text, it sends that information up to Microsoft, and then they have programmers go through it, and they look at people's satisfaction with the program, and algorithms kind of sort through it and check, okay, did we get this one right? Things like that. And it'll also do things like spell check as well. I've written some words that aren't within the spell checker's dictionary. And so even though I know it can read what I'm writing, it tries to kind of auto-correct me knowing that I had misspelled something. Any other questions before I move on? Cool. So there are some new charts within Office as well. So if you're working within Word or Excel or PowerPoint too, I guess, there are some new modern charts. I actually have them saved on the desktop over here, so we can take a look at what those six new charts are. Perfect. Here's one of them. This one isn't used so much for math. It's more to communicate ideas. I believe this one was called the Sunburst chart. So it's kind of used to, in this one, it's used to kind of show workplace hierarchy in this case. So that's what this one is showing. You can see how they're kind of categorized into different groups. And as you go closer into the center, you get higher and higher in the hierarchy. This one is called a box plot. Actually, I should be able to zoom in on this one for you so you can read the text. Oh, I guess it actually doesn't zoom in anymore, but that's fine. This one doesn't zoom in anymore, but that's okay. This one shows median and outliers and things like that and maximum. So this one's used kind of to show more data, more so than the Sunburst. It's called the box plot. It's one of the charts that you can use. This one is kind of to show groups. So you can see here they're talking about continents and the countries within those continents. This one is a histogram report. This one was a Pareto chart. And then the last one is the waterfall chart. You can see how they show kind of profit, cost, and things like that, and revenue. But those are some of the new charts that I had found. All right. There are things like smart guides. So there was back in the day, you kind of had to manually align things yourself. Smart guides appear when your objects, such as pictures or shapes, are close to even, and they try and guide you into the right spot. There's conflict resolution when co-authoring. You can choose between two versions of the slide. So right here, if you think that your slide looks better than the other person and they think that their slide looks better than yours, it allows you to compare them side by side, and then you two can kind of come to an agreement or continue to disagree, however you want to work. And last but not least, there is Outlook. One of the greatest features that I love in Outlook is the attach file option. So I had a client that was working with Outlook, and we had just finished working in a document, and she goes, oh, no, now I have to find where we saved that document. The cool part is if you go to attach files, it drops down a list of all of your recently saved documents. So that's what this modern attachments is. It's if you were just working in a Word document and you saved it and now you need to send it to somebody, it'll be the first thing that pops up in your attach file list. There's a thing called clutter, which is essentially a folder. As you begin to use Outlook more and more, it learns which emails you're likely to read and which ones you aren't. And then if you're likely not to read it, it'll move it to your clutter folder, and then you can look at it at a later time. It's essentially like another version of spam. But you can also view your inbox in full as well. There are people suggestions. So if you continue to communicate with someone more and more, they'll be at the top of your list, which is kind of reminiscent of the MySpace top six that we had back in the day. Cool. So these are the Office mobile apps that I had mentioned before. The number one is that it is free. But like I said, it is free with an asterisk. You do need Office 365 and able to edit these documents that you receive on your devices. You can use it on iOS, Android, and a Windows phone. So it's available for all of them. You don't have to use just the Windows phone. And it is optimized for touch on smaller screens. So if you're working within something like Excel, it's not going to give you the full taskbar that you have in Excel. It's going to kind of have it hidden away in a menu. And then there are some features that aren't available on there, obviously. Excel is a very powerful program, and I wouldn't expect them to pack it all into a phone. So there are some features that you're just going to have to use a computer for. But being able to kind of basic edit and look at the documents on the go is very useful. Pick up where you left off refers to the OneDrive synchronization. So if you save a document, for example, like I was working on a PowerPoint the other day, I had saved it. I looked at it on my phone, and it asked me if I wanted to continue working from the last slide that I was on. You click yes, and it actually takes you right down to that last slide. So that's pretty useful. We talked about Office 365 and how you need it to edit documents. It is built for touch. So like I said, it's not going to look exactly like it does on a computer. A lot of it has kind of been hidden away. The icons are made bigger. You'll have to navigate through menus to get to where you want. Office mobile apps does work off of OneDrive. So your apps are saved onto, well, they can be saved onto the phone, but it'll try and save it to OneDrive. There are features like Tell Me, Read Mode, and Smart Lookup. Tell Me is a really useful feature. So the way that Tell Me works is at the top of the screen, there's a little search bar. And let's say I don't know how to do margins or headers or footers inside of Word. If you type in header and you click on it, it actually takes you right to changing the header for the document, which is extremely useful. Read mode kind of makes it so it like it hides all of the editing tools that you don't need so that you can easily read the entire document. And then Smart Lookup is another cool feature as well. So let's say I have to write a paper on Disneyland. If you actually type in the word Disneyland and then you highlight and you go down to Smart Lookup, it'll actually take you to web results for everything you would need to know about Disneyland. So it'll source things like Wikipedia first, and then you can go ahead and read through it, and you can actually add text from the Smart Lookup directly into it, and it'll cite it in a bibliography for you at the bottom, which is a really neat feature. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not plagiarizing if you source it. It is included on most small tablets and phones, as long as it's less than 10 inches. Usually when you go over 10 inches, it's no longer a tablet. But honestly, it depends on the operating system more so than the size of the device. If you're on iOS mobile, so if you're on like an iPad Pro, which I believe is 12 inches, you can use Office Mobile on it. You don't have to worry about that. And it is downloadable from the Windows Store on any Windows 10 computer. You can get the Office Mobile app, which would allow you to view documents. If that's all you really need to do on your computer, you don't need to purchase Office 365. Any questions before I move on to the next slide? Cool. So this is talking about how you purchase Office 2016 or Office 365, and it kind of breaks down some of the differences. We talked about this earlier. You can purchase it from office.com. It'll ask you to make a Microsoft account if you don't already have one. A Microsoft account being any email address that ends in at Outlook, at Hotmail, at Live, at MSN, technically at Microsoft, but you wouldn't have one of those unless you worked for Microsoft. And then there is the Office Home and Business. So it doesn't matter which license you purchase. You still have to go to office.com to download your Office. They no longer have it on a USB or a CD. It's all download. And a lot of laptops are actually straying away from having the disk drives as well. Some are even straying away from the USB slot. Yeah, there is an Office 365 for businesses as well, which isn't listed on here. But if you were running a small business and you needed, like, bulk Office, like maybe you have 30 employees and you have computers for all of them and all of them need to be able to use Office, Office 365 for small business allows you to purchase Office kind of by the user, and you pay monthly for that as well. Home and business, yeah. So there's no more professional. It's just the home and business, home and student. Office.com. Yes, that is the website. There are other things that you can get as well should you go through Office for small business, like OneDrive for business. There's SharePoint. There's a lot of, you can get Microsoft CRM, their customer relations manager, things like that. It's all kind of tailored to your needs. And when you sign up for Office 365, they have you meet with one of their Microsoft partners, which kind of determines the needs that you have for your business, and they'll walk you through what you can get. There's things where you can purchase an Exchange server, so if you want your email address to sync over everything, your calendar, your contacts, all of your emails, and you want it to be instant, an Exchange server is how you'll do that, and they can walk you through kind of migrating your currently existing emails over to an Exchange server as well. Go on to our next slide. Cool. So this is just to recap. You experience your modern desktop productivity with the newer versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. There's some really cool features that we talked about. We talked about OneDrive as well, and we talked about collaborating, where you can invite people to look at your documents, to edit your documents, see the edits that they had made to your documents as well. There are the free Office mobile apps that you can download for your mobile devices. And then there are you can choose and use the perpetual. Well, it doesn't have to be 365. I know a lot of people are big fans of purchasing the license that you kind of own forever. I will say that if you do need a terabyte of cloud storage, Office 365 is the way to go. It usually costs about $10 a month to get a terabyte of cloud storage. And if you're going to pay that, you might as well go this route and get the terabyte of cloud storage in addition to the Office applications. Cool. Any other questions? All right. So that's it for this slideshow. Cool. I'm going to go ahead and end it there. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Otherwise, I will pass the microphone off. Yes.
What about updating your data and bringing into this documents that you created in an earlier version of Office, particularly your Outlook files?
So the nice part about the Outlook files is if you're working within an older version of Outlook, it should already have what's called a .pst file. That's your data file where everything is kind of stored. And if you install the newest version of Outlook, it knows where to look for that .pst file. And so it should work pretty seamlessly. The only time I've really seen anyone have any problems with it is when you have it on a Mac computer and you're moving over to a Windows computer, in which case there's a whole conversion process that's really a pain to do, and it takes a long time, and people get mad when they have to do it. Yes, it does use a PST file as well. You can insert using a .csv file, which stands for comma-separated values. So it's essentially when you export, like, all of your contacts, for instance, into an Excel spreadsheet, you can import those contacts over into Outlook as well. It's not the smoothest transition. It does need some proofreading every now and then. But generally, it's pretty good. If you're using an older version of Outlook, it should feel pretty seamless as long as you're on the same operating system. Same with Word documents, actually. So if you're on an older Word document, they used to be .doc files. They are now .docx files, which are for the newer versions of Word. So if you open up an older version of a Word document, it will read at the top compatibility mode. And there are some features that you can't do while it's in compatibility mode, because if you wanted to open that .doc in an older version of Word, it can't have any of that new stuff in it. So like co-authoring, for example, isn't available in a .doc format. There is a conversion that you can do within a Word document that will convert it to a newer version, and then you can kind of switch over to the newer version. But once you go forward, you can't really go back. It'll remove all of that new stuff that you put into it. There are some other ones that you can use. Google Docs is a big one that a lot of people like to use. It's free, but it is limited to what you can do online. The nice part is there is also OpenOffice, which I've used extensively before when I was a poor college student. I like that one a lot, actually. OpenOffice is very good. I would say that's probably one of the closest things you're going to get to Office. There are some features missing from it that you won't have with the newer versions of Office, like your cloud integration or the fact that it kind of instantly imports your recently used documents for emails and attachments. But if you're looking to write like a Word document and you want most of those features that you would have available in Word, I would definitely recommend something like OpenOffice. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, LibreOffice is the other one that people are using. I haven't used that one. I did use OpenOffice, but I'm not sure about LibreOffice. It does. There are actually two options that you have for that. There's answers.microsoft.com, which is kind of the community forum that they have for technical problems. And in some cases, it can be not so technical problems. Maybe the program's working right, but you just don't know how to do something. They can definitely help you with that. But answers.microsoft.com. Answers.microsoft.com. Yeah. That's kind of the technical help forum. You can get help from people hired by Microsoft, and it stretches back years as well for like obscure problems that you're looking for. The second website would be support.office.com, which actually has a whole host of documents to tell you how to do each of the specific features available in each of the Office applications, which is pretty cool. They have videos on there as well where people kind of walk you through step by step on how to do that. Yes, so support.office.com has the manuals for these programs. Of course, there are third-party programs or third-party products that you can get as well. I know the Four Dummies books are pretty popular as far as like Word and PowerPoint and Windows and all that stuff. Those can walk you through that as well. Of speech to text, it actually doesn't have any form of dictation built into it. So Office 365 doesn't. I know they're working on that with Cortana, which is kind of the personal assistant that you can use inside of Windows 10, which would allow you to dictate to it yet. But it's not made for those kind of long sentence and paragraphs and pages. It's just kind of used for short commands. There's no form of speech-to-text. There is built into the operating system kind of the older version of speech-to-text that you could use, but it's not a newer version. It's the same version that's available on like Windows 7. Well, what's the version that you're currently on? Because you do have options to kind of download depending on which version of Office you're looking for. I know that someone was having trouble because 2016 wasn't supported on their operating system, so we had to download 2013. With an active 365 subscription, you can download older versions. If you do have a permanent license of 2013, it should tell you that your license for 2016 is expiring, and then you would have to go back to office.com and re-download your 2013. If you have the permanent license for 2013, you shouldn't have to pay for it. It would just be a matter of re-downloading it. Any other questions? It doesn't save it on your desktop? OneDrive. Yeah. That's a good question. It is saved directly to the cloud, so it could be the case that you're uploading it to OneDrive, but I'm actually not sure how OneNote for Mac works. I know for the Windows version, the way it works is that you have a notebook file that is saved to your OneDrive document. So there is a physical file there, and it's saved in that OneDrive folder, but I'm not sure how it works on Mac. I would assume it's something similar, but if you don't have OneDrive already installed on your computer, I'd be curious to know how that works. Right. But that one doesn't? Interesting. It could be working completely cloud-based. Where it just pulls all the information from the internet and re-downloads it every time. And there could be cached files hidden within your system files. But I'm not sure entirely on how the Mac version works. You could definitely look it up on answers.microsoft.com. That would be a good place to look it up. They'd have the information there.
If you are changing computers or, you know, changing hard drives, basically, because it's stolen or breaks or something, can you download your whole OneDrive file to your new hard drive?
You definitely can. There's actually a feature within Windows 10 that will allow you to back up to OneDrive should you have the space for it. And when you install OneDrive on a new computer and you log in with your account credentials, it asks you which folders you want to bring over. So it could be a matter of just dragging and dropping all of your like documents and your downloads over to OneDrive, letting them upload, and then moving on to the new computer and downloading all of that stuff again. It's definitely possible for you to back it up. Programs, however, will not be backed up. That kind of stuff you do have to reinstall. It can bring over your files, but things like programs you definitely have to reinstall. Any other questions? So originally we were going to raffle off the Office tickets using these, but we decided to use the raffle tickets because you guys already had a raffle set up over at the table instead. So the blue tickets are for fun. They are souvenirs from Microsoft. To you. You can keep them if you want. We won't ask for them back. But, yeah, I think you guys are managing the raffle now.